Well, looking at two words in the last verse that Rachel read, completely healed or complete healing. As a young Christian, my wife and I went to anything that was vaguely Christian up and down the South Wales coast. And so we experienced the dour hyper-Calvinists and the off-the-wall kind of charismatics and everywhere in between. And I remember then as a young Christian teaching, and there was a girl in my class, 15-year-old girl, and I said, "Oh, you don't look very well. Are you all right?" And she said, "Oh, my throat is killing me, sir." And I said, "Oh, no, let's have a look." I said, not that I know anything about anything. She opened it, and I could see then, you know, the infected throat. And I said, "Oh, you shouldn't be in school." She said, "No, it's all right." She said, "My mother's a Christian." "Oh," I said. And she drove out the demon this morning of my throat, from my throat. And she said, "I was healed. Now I just had to believe it." Well, I don't know about you. There's a lot of stuff around, isn't there? I hate meaningless mumbo jumbo in any sphere, and lies. I hate lies, but I particularly hate lies in the name of Jesus. When somebody says to a teenager like that, "Look, it's all right, you know, I've driven the demon out. You are healed. You just need to believe it," when clearly she's not healed and she's infected and she's got a raging temperature and she shouldn't be near anybody else. Now, I worked with a guy. He was a fascinating guy. For many reasons, but one of the reasons was he had a sideline. He was a teacher, a maths teacher, but he had a sideline in magic. He used to do magic tricks, and I asked him to show me one trick, which he showed me umpteen times, but I was too incompetent to actually do it, because he said magic wasn't just about the sleight of hand, the skill with your fingers. He said it's all about distraction. So as you're doing something and the people are focused on that, actually what's really going on is somewhere else and they're not watching. Well, I didn't know that. You probably knew it. I didn't know that at the time. But I watched recently an awful video of an American preacher claiming to heal in the name of Jesus. And as he's walking about, for instance, there's a guy in a wheelchair there. Gene, imagine you now, he comes along and he hits this guy on the forehead now in the name of Jesus, and the guy is hit so hard he falls back in the wheelchair. And he goes on now to touch people here, then everywhere, saying that he's healed them, chanting all the time, glory to God, praise the name of Jesus, that kind of thing. But I was so angry as I was watching, because I was thinking, yeah, now this reminds me of so many meetings I've been in where you move on, and actually we need to focus on the person now that you claim to have healed. Of course, the video didn't do that. But fortunately, somebody had been in the congregation there with their phone, and they had filmed what happened to the people that he'd touched on the forehead in the name of Jesus or whatever. And of course, the poor dab who'd fallen back in his wheelchair was still there, because he hadn't been healed at all. And he couldn't move now, and he was on his back. And he obviously had banged his head as well. And I just thought, yeah, this is all about distraction, isn't it? You're distracting people from what's going on by chanting certain kind of pious phrases. And you're making sure the camera moves on then, and you're walking around, and apparently you've healed 30 or 40 people, but actually they're still there. Now, having said that, I believe, seen, and I would say, on one occasion, experienced miraculous healing in the name of Jesus. But there's a lot of fake out there. And I think Christians are right to be skeptical whenever anybody claims anything. I don't think we're ever to be gullible, because Satan masquerades as an angel of light. The masquerading is dressing up in there, putting a mask on. We all got masks on, don't we, this morning, but you know what I mean? You're putting on a mask on so that you pretend. Satan goes around pretending to be on God's side and duping loads of people. And though the language might be accurate or encouraging even, war is in Satan's heart, isn't it, all the time? And hundreds and thousands are led up the garden path. So here's this man in Acts 3. He's crippled from birth. This is an awful situation. He has to be put. I noticed in the reading of Rachel, yeah, the man had been placed there. He begs there. It's a pretty good place to beg, because it's on the way to the temple courts. Peter and John come along, and they see the man looking up. He's begging. And they say, "Oh, we haven't got any cash, but we got something." Now, again, last week I read of a celebrity Christian in inverted commas, who said, he's very, very wealthy, he said this, God gave me much more money than my accountant ever did. Well, where do you start? Is that so? That, of course, that celebrity Christian doesn't say he's a Christian anymore. It only lasted a couple of years or whatever. But is that what it's all about? Here's this man and he is begging. And what he really wants is silver or gold. He's begging and he needs it. But Peter and John say, we haven't got money. We haven't got any silver or gold to give you. But what? But in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ, walk. And the man walks. The man is seen walking, leaping, and praising God. Because, and Peter's words, the man is completely healed. And you can all see it, he says, as you can see. Now, obviously, they could see the physical healing. They couldn't see the spiritual healing. Not yet. Jesus could. But they would all see that as well, eventually. That's what happens if somebody becomes a Christian. You're skeptical and you say, oh, are you all right? Okay. But you watch, and if they really are converted, they really saved, eventually you see the life. But of course, they see the physical healing straight away. They say, no, I mean, somebody says, no, I don't think he's been healed. Well, you remember him? Oh, yeah, I remember him. Well, look at him now, and there he is jumping about. You say, oh, he's been healed. We can't argue with it. The tragedy is, it is a tragedy, isn't it? That if, as I think of talking to somebody yesterday, when we look at Christians today in our land, you have to ask sometimes, of many, I would say, does it show that they're Christians? Because, you know, this man, when he's healed, it shows. You know, miracles sadly do not encourage faith. They don't foster faith because we're happy. You know, you find, we are in town, Elman. You put something on as free food, free this. People will come because, and they'll just take everything for free. Oh, this is great. But they take all the blessings from God, but they don't want God. And by nature, that's all of us, isn't it? We're happy to have, I read a story last week. I think it was in Italy. I could be wrong on the details. I'm getting old anyway, I forget the details anyway. But there's a man, he had COVID, he was in hospital, he was on a ventilator, and eventually, thanks to the care he had, he's well, and they say, you're well now, you can go home, but unfortunately, in the country that he's in, unfortunately, you've got to pay for the ventilator that you had. And the man says something like, yeah, do you know, all the air that I've had up until now, from God. I just took it for granted. And now I've got to pay. And now I see what God has given me free every day. I thought it was a fascinating story. But by nature, we just take the air, but we don't want God. You've seen people, you know, let's say, imagine somebody called Katie, okay? She's in a crisis and she says, oh, pray for me, will you? And you do, and the Lord miraculously intervenes, and it's wonderful, but no effect on Katie. Carries on as before. She'll take all that God wants to give, all the freebies from God. But, you know, I think of physical healings that I have seen. I can think of two now. People miraculously healed by the Lord. No effect on them spiritually, no effect. Well, they're glad. Oh, that's nice of you. Well, thanks that you prayed or whatever, but no effect on them. Why is that? Because, of course, we're self-obsessed. That's what sin is, isn't it? We're obsessed with me, me, me. Now, of course, the physical healing here was temporary. That man would die. We all die. We all die because of sin in the world. And I just think what I was thinking this morning, eating my breakfast. The scientists call it entropy. In other words, everything's falling apart. You know, the rust comes, we wear out, we slow down. Everything tends to chaos. Why? Because of sin in the world. And that's why I'm going to die and you are going to die. There was a young man Many years ago, he was born, his parents ran the Bell Inn in Gloucester. He was born there. He was very able guy. So they sent him off to university in Oxford, and he did very well there. But at the age of 20, he was converted to Christ, became a Christian, out of the blue, as it were. And of course, he told his parents, probably wrote home or something, and say, I've become a Christian. Well, you know, they were fairly religious kind of people. And so they said, oh, you'll have to come. And when he said, oh, yeah, and I'm going to start to preach. And they said, oh, come and preach in our church then, in the local church. So he comes back to Gloucester and he preaches, and he preaches the gospel. And people who were there said, when George Whitfield, that was his name, when he came, 15 people went mad. Meaning what? Well, this message that he preached, it got home. And people either loved it or hated it. Now, I don't know whether the 15 who went mad loved it or whether they hated it. They wanted to kill him or they wanted to grab hold of him. And I don't know. But the point is, the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. There's power in the gospel. And this young fellow, Whitfield, preaches it, and the Lord blesses it, and people are affected. They're not sitting there bored. They're not sitting there just being entertained. It has an effect on them. And there has to be power in the gospel, because we are dead in sin by nature, aren't we? I need a righteousness as good as God's for heaven. There's the standard. Well, how am I doing there? Well, I haven't got any. So I'm doing. I don't need a top up. I haven't got any righteousness. I need a righteousness as good as God's. And wonderfully, in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed by faith. There was an American preacher many years ago, Tony Campolo. He was preaching at a particular church. He had a kind of itinerant ministry, preaching at a particular church in Cleveland, I think it was. And at the end of the gospel message, a woman comes up who's a Christian. She has a husband with her. He's got cancer and it's terminal. And she says, will you pray for my husband to be healed? So Tony Campolo prays. And then a couple of months later, he has a phone call from a lady. Do you remember when you preached in Cleveland? Oh, yes. Do you remember I came up with my husband? Oh, yes. How is he? Oh, he passed away 2 weeks ago. Oh, I'm sorry about that, he says. And then the lady says, you know, you prayed. He wasn't cured, but he was healed, because he was dead. When he died, he fell into the arms of Jesus. Well, that's it, you see. That's what healed is. And here's this man, completely healed. Yes, he can walk about, but the greater healing than the physical, he is saved. Saved. This healing, see, that Jesus does is so complete. The physical healing is not, because we die. But the spiritual healing is complete. It's so complete, and you've got to be careful, you know. You've got to pinch yourself. It is almost too good to be true. You know, there's a hymn in it. It is a thing most wonderful, almost too wonderful. It is almost too wonderful, because this spiritual healing is so complete. It doesn't matter what I do from now on. Now, you've got to be careful, because some people say they're Christians and their behavior shows they're not. But for the real Christian, there's no new sin now that I could ever commit that can destroy this salvation, this healing that Jesus has given. It is astonishing. I can't shake off Jesus now. No one can pluck me from his hand. That's tremendous. Although I look at you, is it tremendous? See, because on the cross, when he proclaimed, Jesus proclaimed, it is finished, it really was finished. It's a magnificent message. Is it magnificent for you? You know, I prayed once in a public place in a ceremony, doesn't matter. And right at the end of the prayer, my prayer, I must have said something like, and forgive us all our sins. And a lady apparently said at the table she was sitting on, well, I haven't got any sins. Well, where do you start with somebody like that, you know? Haven't got any sins. You know, it's a good job, really, I wasn't sitting at her table. Because I think I would have probably ruined the night and said, I haven't got any sins. Well, let's start. Let's look at you then. You know, I remember taking an RE lesson with teenagers. And the boy shouted out, I'm good. I'm good, sir. Ask anybody. Okay, let's ask the class. Is he good? No. I said, we didn't get far. Didn't have to go outside the room. Or somebody I visited in hospital, he said, oh, this war, they're getting on my nerves. Why can't everybody in the world be like us? Well, they are like us. That's the problem, isn't it? That's the problem. But we're all the same. We all hurt others. Stick around long enough and I'll disappoint you. You disappoint me. But worse than that, we snub God. Snub him. Have you ever been blanked by somebody who started to talk to them and they turned away and spoke to somebody else? Have you? We do it to God all the time. I remember watching a film, Marnie, I think it was called, Sean Connery talking to his wife. She's one side of the door, he's one side of the other. As he's talking to her, she slowly, doesn't slam the door, just slowly closes the door as if to say, not interested. You doing that to God? Or you slam in the door in God's face? Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. You know, if you count every star, in the Milky Way galaxy, started like us, 1, 2, it'd take 2,500 years, and you wouldn't have finished. That's just in our little galaxy. You know, Psalm 139, fearfully and wonderfully made. If you counted all the characters in just in your DNA, it would take you over 90-odd years. And yet, you imagine you're in a bus or a car or something. You go around the corner, you see a pile of bricks. You think, oh, they could have fallen off the back of a lorry. And then you go around the next bend and you see a beautiful bungalow. You don't assume that that's fallen off the back of a lorry. You know full well somebody has sat down and planned it, created it, designed it, built it. And yet you are so much more complicated than a bungalow. Bungalow's not alive. You know, when you see somebody die, and I hate it. When you see somebody die and you realize the body is just a shell. It is dead. And yet here we are. How are we alive then? And yet, even though God has made us and loved us, we've all snubbed him. You know, in 1996, Prince Charles announced he was no longer defender of the faith, Christian faith. He was defender of faith. Fortunately, somebody called Janet Daly, who was a journalist in the Times newspaper, which used to be 10 pence on a Monday. I used to buy it every Monday. Janet Daly wrote in the Times to Prince Charles, you cannot defend all faiths at the same time. I thought, hang on, is there somebody with a bit of sense writing in the paper? It sounds like it. Somebody here who's just looking and saying, you can't do that. You can't talk like that. Only Jesus can help us, man. Only Jesus can help us. This man, crippled from birth, he didn't suddenly decide to get up and walk. Who's responsible for this? Jesus. Jesus is. His life was unique. His conception was unique. The prophecies fulfilled, the miracles he did. His death was unique. His resurrection was unique. His ascension was unique. Everything about him. You know, there's a long list of celebrities who've claimed to be Christians in recent years. Jane Fonda, Bob Dylan went through the evangelical phase, as he called it. Jerry Halliwell. I don't know where any of those stand now, but there is the real thing. People who actually have been healed. We've got peace with God. Peace with God. See, the thing is, you know, some people, and some of you anyway, some of you are young, anyway, and some watching online. And when you say peace with God, see, it's not a big deal because you don't think you're going to die soon. But when death does come, it's terrifying, and for most people, absolutely terrifying. Terrifying. You know, in the late 60s, I was a teenager. I was at my peak. I had hair, you know, tremendous. And the big thing musically was the peace movement, the hippie movement, you know, Mamas and Papas, you know, Scott McKenzie, you know, if you go into San Francisco and all that, you know, and the move, you know, and LSD and the Beatles and, oh, you know, and all these massive outdoor concerts like Woodstock in America, You know, all give us, all we're saying is give peace a chance, waving the, you know, whatever. And, you know, one of them, Jimi Hendrix, you know, best guitarist I think I've ever seen, you know, pauses halfway through his act and says, is there anybody out there who can tell me how to find peace? You know, come backstage, you know, I need to find peace. And, you know, many came to offer advice how to find peace. Nobody thinking, but it's a peace movement. The whole thing has got banners, give peace a chance, and all we need is peace and so on. But nobody has the foggiest idea what they're talking about. And there's a poor dab who's distraught and who dies not long after, then choking on his own vomit. But he cried out and nobody could help him. And how many thousands were there? It's pathetic, man. It's pathetic, isn't it? Nobody had the foggiest idea. And then we come to Romans 5. We can have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the only way. And whoever you are now listening, watching on, well, or catch up or live now, you know, do you want peace with God? Or do you think it's just pie in the sky and you worry about it later? You don't know when the later will be. Almighty God offers you peace with himself right now, but in one way, through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing a song.